All right, let's go ahead and turn to Romans chapter number 8 tonight. Romans chapter 8. We'll start reading with verse number 1. Still talking about kingdom thinking. We're going to talk about the spiritual battle tonight. Romans chapter number 8. There is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Somebody say capital S. What does that mean? Holy Spirit. For the law of the capital S, for the law of the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death. Everybody say fleshly minded. Worldly minded. Is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. For if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life through because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Father, thank you for your word tonight. We ask your Holy Spirit to come and grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open our hearts and our minds. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church tonight. And Father, we give you thanks and praise right now for it. Thank you for the anointing of your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. Say amen. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think many people today do not understand the spiritual battle. And I want you to really listen to me tonight as we lay some foundation. Because number one, think about this tonight. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Everybody say God is a spirit. I know some people say, well, you're trying to spiritualize everything. Well, there's a lot to the spirit. Amen. Think about it tonight. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Man is a tripart being. He has a spirit, a soul, and a body. Amen? Now, the devil is a spirit. Say, the devil is a spirit. Demons are spirits. Spirits. Matter of fact, Christianity itself is born of spirit. Everybody say born of spirit. It operates on spiritual principles. And this is what you need to get tonight. When you fight battles, you can't just squall and bawl. You got to have something from the word to use. This is what this is about tonight. Everybody say it's a spiritual battle. God's a spirit. The devil's a spirit. I'm a spirit. Huh? So it operates on spiritual principles. Think about what Jesus said. His word is spirit and it is life. So if you're going to defeat a spiritual enemy, you got to have a spiritual weapon, right? Now, these principles in the Word transcend the laws of nature and the universe. You think about Adam in that garden until he sinned, he operated on a supernatural level. Somebody say a God level. But when he sinned, he began to develop his natural senses. Everybody say your natural senses. Now in the Bible, when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, remember the story in John chapter number 3? He said a man must be born again. And we're going to read this together now. In John chapter 3, starting with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How in the world can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Say, when I get saved, I get born again. Say, I come alive. I come alive. Verse number 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Are you a master of Israel and know not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how in the world are you going to believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Or do not understand the spirit realm. They don't understand God being a spirit. They don't understand. They'll say there's a devil, but you know, most of the time they call their kids devils. Or their enemies, devils, and things like that. But you know, you're a spirit. God is a spirit. The devil is a spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. So the truth of being born again, you're born of spirit. Somebody say born of spirit. I was born of water. My mother gave birth to me, but I was born again. Jesus birthed me in spirit. Amen. Amen. And for neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared that for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. Then it's a good one right here to get. Say, I have not received the spirit of the world. So that tells me, think about this now. If you claim to be a Christian and you are worldly, you're operating out of the wrong spirit. Hello, somebody. Listen, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, talking about being born again, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. So when you were born again, God gave you a lot of stuff. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receives what? Not the things of the Spirit. Most people in church, look up here, that are this deep, most people in church that are about this deep receive not the things of the Spirit. You talk about spiritual warfare. You talk about God being a spirit. You're talking about the need to engage because you're a spirit. You're born again. You begin to talk about things like that. It's foreign. Boy, y'all look like y'all just... Okay, it's good. It's good. All right, now listen. The natural man, the flesh man, everybody say the flesh man. The flesh man, this man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. An unregenerate man does not understand the things of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. Carnal Christians, and that's like an oxymoron. That's like something just opposite. I mean, like, how do you come up? What is a carnal Christian? It's almost like, really? To me, that's a Christian that was gave birth to and just left on the table to die. A Christian that said they got born again, they came to the altar and asked for forgiveness or apologized, maybe didn't even understand what forgiveness was or redemption was. And so they never grew. Amen? But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him that we have the mind of Christ? But we have the mind of Christ. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to be like Joan Rivers. We're going to say, can we talk? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now, this is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. I couldn't talk to you believers. You that have been born again, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto little babies. Listen to the next verse. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. That's like when people get born again. Listen, even people that have come to church for years get easily offended. What have they been on? Milk. They never got to the meat. Never got to the meat. They're still on milk. Can't, Pastor, if you got a bottle. Say, honey, we don't part mustaches to feed babies around here. If babies have beards, we send them somewhere else. Amen. Listen to what he says. Verse 3. For you are yet carnal, you're fleshly. For whereas there is among you, listen, this is what he says. This is how you identify fleshliness. There's among you envying, strife, and divisions. And Paul says, are you not carnal and walk as men? Now, that's a powerful statement right there. So he's telling you that when you get born again, you'll be on milk for a while, but you should graduate to the milk. You should want to know God. You should not be a person that's going to cause that's going to walk in envying and strife and jealousy and division or cause these things, okay? Listen. You walk as men. You're supposed to not walk as a man. You're supposed to walk as a man of God, as a child of God, a person who's been born again by Spirit. Somebody say amen. Say Christ in me. The Spirit of God is in me. The Spirit of God is in me. For while one saith, this is what Paul goes on to say, and we're not going to get into all of that, but he says, one says I'm of Paul, one says I'm of Apollos, one says I'm of Peter or Cephas and all this stuff. And he says, man, are you not just carnal? Amen. He's telling us something. He's telling us something. People today develop their minds, which just means they develop their soul, intellectual. People love to be intellectual. My God, the internet is full of it. People think that they know so much. And I'm like, this stuff drives me. My God, I wished I'd never seen the internet. I wished I'd never heard the internet. And everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's trying to say what this is and stuff like that. And I'm saying, well, a carnal man cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they're hard to bear. Because nobody in that is carnal wants to hear anything that's going to be abrasive to the flesh that has to do with you dying to you. Amen? Amen. So there's people today that develop their minds, their souls. Let's say their souls. They develop their souls. And a person that develops their souls is going to live soulishly. They're going to live by their emotions. If the day's a bad day, everything is bad. If the day's a good day, everything is good. If it's been a good day, God's good. If it's been a bad day, I've sinned greatly against God. There's no foundational strength. There's no relationship in the spirit there with God. Amen? Now listen, people develop their bodies, right? I mean, people work out. I mean, you can see, you can work out, and people love working out and looking good and all this stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, few understand the need to develop the human spirit. Paul said bodily exercise is not profitable for you. It says very little profit in that. He said what you need to concentrate on is developing your spirit man. Amen? Develop your spirit man. So people with underdeveloped spirits cause many problems. Look at your neighbor and say, are you a problem? Say, are you a problem? So in other words, you're saying, are you carnal? Are you fleshly? Amen. Come on. Remember over here, Paul talked about mortifying the deeds of your body. He's telling you to put to death your anger, put to death your immorality, put to death those evil, wicked thoughts, those fleshly thoughts. He said, kill them. Don't allow jealousy to rule you. Don't allow your emotions to rule your life. Because if you do, your faith is not going to be very strong. You're not going to be effective in the things of God. You listening to me? So a high percentage of people in churches have underdeveloped spirits. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Listen again to what Paul says. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as little babies. Coochie, coochie, coochie. Yeah, man, you get ready to coochie coo, that thing will bite your finger off because it's carnal. Amen? I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. He's telling you that when you begin to get in the Word, there's things in there that are going to offend your mind. And they're going to reveal your heart, where your walk is with Jesus. It's just like if anybody worth their salt gets up and begins to minister, they're going to say some things that offend your mind to reveal what's in your heart. And if there's carnality and fleshliness in there, some of the main things that are coming out are envying and strife and jealousy and lust and all this stuff that's there, the works of the flesh. Amen? Amen. See, God wants us to develop our human spirit to the point that we become profitable in the kingdom. Huh? Listen. For are you not yet carnal? For whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal? And so there's, by and large, there's many people in churches that are carnal because they cause strife and envying and church splits and problems. And they sow seeds of discord. And they do all kinds of things because they don't get with God's program. Amen. See, this, where we're going tonight, this is such a serious thing in church. And understand, I was sitting and listening, and even denominations, and people, we need more methodology. We got to have more programs. We got to do this. We're living in a day where pastors have really become good circus people for jumping through hoops to entertain people. Because they go to the internet, and if they don't have all the views that they think that they should have, they're going to go jump through a hoop to try to get it because they want to entertain people. That is not the method Jesus used. Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, follow me. Take up your cross. It's real abrasive. It's going to hurt. And I guarantee you, you're going to have to die to get to where I'm going. But if you'll follow me and die to yourself, that's Jesus' message. And when he preached it, the Bible said, many turned away and didn't walk with him anymore. And they said, man, that's hard. And so if you got somebody that preaches the truth, it's like an old song that Lilirish used to sing, is there a preacher that preaches the truth? And so we need people that'll tell the truth because, number one, how am I going to know how carnal I am unless somebody offends my mind? Well, I ain't going back to church there. That preacher, man, he's just too hard. You wouldn't have followed Jesus very far. Man, if you can't handle me, you sure couldn't handle him. Amen. He'd have said, you're a hypocrite. Listen. So the division, the dissension, the strife within the Christian community is the greatest hindrance of accomplishing God's purpose and assignment. Now listen to me. I hope it gets on the live stream because I hope it helps somebody. So what we do in this world for the kingdom of God has to be done out of the Spirit of God. And if I'm always trying to defend me, take care of me, argue about my lusts and my wants and my desires and look through my religious glasses, instead of and not going to somebody else to find out what they said and say, well, I agree with that and that's what I'm going to believe. It sure is quiet. Hosea 4 and 6 says what? My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Zechariah 4 and 6, it says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So God says, walk in the spirit, live in the spirit, be controlled by the spirit, be filled continually with the spirit. He said, because if you don't do that, then what's going to happen to you is you're going to end up being a carnal Christian, as they call it. Amen? Listen. So we're living in what many call the post-Christian era. And I want to call it the Christian error. Can I call it the Christian era? Amen. Physical activity made by the church is not going to be what puts us over. Let me jump through one more hoop. What can I do to entertain this generation to reach it? And so by and large, we have a void of the power of God. Is that what Paul said would happen in the last days? They would have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And see, I don't know about you, but I understand that the methods that Jesus used were the Word and the Spirit. He operated out of that. Somebody say amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Spiritual power is not produced by programs. Regardless of what many denominations think. Methods. You think about all the minutia. That's a good word to use. Wading through it. A form of godliness, because that's what carnality produces. Well, you know, we got to come up with this program. We got to do this. If we can do, listen, if the church doesn't get a clue to understand that what you're trying, if you're trying to reach out into another congregation and bring all those believers into your house, you're missing what Jesus taught. That's not church growth. That's church stealing. Amen. I'd rather have a house full of new converts and sinners that don't know anything than to have a bunch of believers that are full of strife and envy and jealousy because they just want to chase down the latest fad or the thing that's glittery and shines the most to them because they're interested in the best song, the best music, the best plan, the best program. But what we need to be majoring on is the best presence. We need the presence and the glory in the house, but the presence and the glory doesn't come where carnal stuff is. It only comes where people are willing to die. Somebody say, amen, Pastor. Listen to me. Jesus did not say, after you've gotten your degree or after you've finished your program or after you've received your promotion, Jesus said, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, that's good. My God, I'm preaching better than your amen. Listen, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. Just this past week, last week, I get stuff about methods. I get stuff about you got to try this and you got to try that. I said, no, we need brokenness. We need repentance. We need the presence. We need to die. We need to get in the face of God and let His presence soak us and saturate us. We need to come away from that with a holy fear and awe. Because those are the recipes for revival and awakening, not methodology. I was reading the other day how that in 1971 at Liberty University, how the Spirit of God broke out. And so, like on a Wednesday night, they stayed from Wednesday till Saturday on their face in the presence of God. This is back in 1971 when Jerry Falwell was still alive. The glory and the presence of God came in there. Students wailed and repented. They got up behind the pulpit and repented and made restitution, repented before the people. God was moving in that place, and they were coming out, people laying all over the place, how the glory and the presence of God was moving. And then when Sunday came, they said what stopped the revival was somebody got up behind the pulpit and boasted about their repentance and said God left that place as quick as he came. But what they didn't understand is that they could have cast that carnal spirit out and they could have stayed right there in the presence of God. They could have said, have mercy on that man, God, but don't you leave us. We got to have your presence. We got to have your fire. We need you, Jesus. We're here. We're here for you. We're not up behind the pulpit boasting on anything. We would be in hell if it weren't for your presence. That's contrary to some people's thinking because everybody's going to heaven. But that's not what the scripture teaches. Listen, Jesus said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, not methods, not programs, not degrees, anything you got hanging on the wall. See, I got all kinds of stuff hanging on the wall, but I got enough sense to know I ain't nothing. I don't have anything if it's not for God. I've got to have his presence. I got to be clothed in his presence. I want his presence. I'd rather shut my mouth and sit down and just say, Jesus, have your way. That's why I tried to give place to the moving of the Spirit of God in this house. I say, Lord, whatever you want, not what I want. And if he gets to moving, I'm just going to say, do it. Somebody say, do it. He said, you shall receive power. And this is where the church is missing it. We think in the church that if we get a new method or a new program, that everything is going to change. No, it's not going to change. It's not until we get the glory, the presence, the God of heaven dwelling in the midst of us. Amen. Where it is so thick, just like there at that Baptist church in Lynchburg, Virginia, Liberty, where Liberty University was, Jerry Falwell's church, where God came in and moved in that house. Wow. Power. Somebody say power. It's the word dunamis. And I love this because there's lots of things about the Greek definition for that, but there's one here that really stands out in this in the Greek. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts or puts forth. When I got born again by the incorruptible seed of God that lives and abides forever, the life of God came on the inside of me, and by virtue of what he made me, I said, by virtue of what he made me an overcomer right there, a more than a conqueror right there. He anointed me right there. He put me in a place and a position where I have inherent power through the Holy Spirit that can raise the dead, cast out the devil, that can reach out, preach the truth of the gospel, and get people saved. Somebody say amen. But if we dwell on methodology of men and programs and try to keep up with everything that's going on the internet, man, that thing needs to be shut down as far as I'm concerned. Jesus didn't have the internet. He didn't have a newspaper. He didn't have a radio. He didn't have a television. But they come by the throngs to get to him because of what flowed out of him. Do you know tonight that the same thing that was in Jesus is in you and can flow out of you? But to get to that, we got to die. Except a kernel of wheat falls in the ground and die, or a kernel of corn falls in the ground and die, it cannot produce fruit. It's got to be put in the ground. It's stuck in the dirt. It's covered up. It's buried. And you think it's dead, but you let a little sunshine and water hit it. Come on, he that hath the sun hath life. And see, it's important to get to this because it absolutely something in my spirit, man, is stirring. I'm saying they are so carnal. They're jealous of somebody that's got 1,000 more members than they have, or jealous of somebody that's got 100 more members than they have. And they think that, you know, because their denomination has the death rattles, and it seems as if it's not going to make it. And they're trying to think about, how can I save my 401k down the road or my retirement plan? I'd be more interested to understand that when I look into my Bible, every method that God used was saying, die to self, come alive unto me, deny yourself. myself, embrace the cross, come into my presence, go into the upper room, and I'm going to come. How long is it going to take you, God? 380 walked away. Did you hear me? 380 of them are like most people in Christendom. They're carnal. I bought a piece of land. I got a baby. I got to tend to this. I got to do that. My God, over the years, I've seen mothers bring their babies, put them in a little blanket in church, be on their knees praying on the front row in prayer meetings. Now we got to have 20 nannies to follow us around to try to help our kids. We need God in heaven help us. We need the glory of God to come into the sanctuary. Amen. Isn't it amazing that when God comes into a sanctuary and the presence and the glory of God hit, you can hear a pin drop in that place. God knows how to say, just calm down, baby. It's going to be all right. See, there's something about the presence of God where there's nothing missing and nothing broken. That infant is going to be quiet until the Holy Ghost says it's okay to cry again. But we're missing some things here. If we're going to reach this generation, it's not going to be by methods. It's going to be because of glory. And I really truly believe that there is a remnant of people out there. I believe that there are a bunch of young people that just are crying out, I want the glory of God. I want the presence of God. I want to see the works of God. I want to see the miracles of God. I want to see the Jesus of the Bible. I want to see that God show up. But see, well, we don't give God that kind of time. It's like I was telling somebody, you know, and just to go full-time ministry, had to die. Was it fun? No. You know, when you're fasting and praying and days go by and days go by and days go by, but the thing about it is the outcome is what you look for. Amen. And I say that with all humility tonight because the church is missing that. What we do on a personal level between us and God is powerful. What we do collectively is multiplied when we have spent time with Him personally and come into the house with a due diligence, with an assignment by the Spirit, to where we have understanding that says there is enough muscle here to slap hell because we are here and we want God to show up. We want Him to come. Amen. Think. Listen to this. Inherent power. Powerful performing miracles. Moral power and excellence of soul. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusteth in a man and maketh his arm flesh. And that's exactly what we have by and large today. We have to be careful not to curse ourselves. We've got to have the presence of God, the living God's presence. Listen to what he says. Makes the arm flesh and whose heart departeth from the Lord. The moment that we look to a method of man to try to get something done, God's hand lifts. That's what Jeremiah said. Listen to what else he said. For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. God said, if you go by the methods of man, you might have what you asked for, but you won't have what I want to give because it'll be void of the glory. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters and that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And it's like we say, well, if I know my heart, you don't. You do not know your heart. Scripture says you don't. Well, if I know myself, you don't. You don't know what's in you until Jesus comes along with a holy finger and touches you. We'll think everything is all right. It's like here a while back, and I have prayed for about abortion, and I prayed over these elections and all these things. Just one day I was over here praying, and God opened up my heart to this abortion thing. I thought I was going to die. I couldn't handle it. I was like, I couldn't breathe. I had snubs, or whatever you want to call them. I was jerking and just weeping about abortion. Because I said, God, I want to feel what you feel about this. See, it's something about having his heart to understand, if I can keep one young person from giving themselves away sexually and not waiting for their mate, if I can divert, man, I'm going to tell you something, man, if you get married, you're a virgin, you got something. You got something. Amen. Hang on to it. And that's not to put anybody down that you know, has had premarital sex or whatever. But you need to be married if you're going to have sex. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, the chief weapon of the enemy is deceit. Now listen to me. Isn't it easy? The heart is desperately wicked above all things. How that mega denominations are going after the methods of men, bringing to pass what Paul told Timothy, they'll have a form of godliness and deny the power. And so they'll talk about this and that. You know, used to in the 1970s and 80s, this is what denominations were big on. Learn how to witness. Take the Roman road. Knock on doors. Witness to the people that you work with. Go in and share the love of Jesus with them. Amen. Build a relationship and earn the right to talk to them about God. You don't hear that anymore. I think there's a few ministries around. I know Rodney Howard Brown, I know that he trains people to send them out. You know, but every Christian needs to do this. Listen, the enemy knows that if he can deceive man into looking to his own strength and ability, he has them where he wants them at. We'll never be able to accomplish the great things of our God that he's ordained for us to do if we're in that condition. Spiritual power. Somebody say spiritual power will be void of it. Now listen to me. I know I'm not going, I'm already 801. So we've got to receive power. This is what the Bible promises right here. Listen to this. Listen. In Romans chapter 8, I'll start with verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope is not seen. But hope that is not seen is not hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our inability, our weaknesses. For we know not how we ought to pray as we ought, but the capital S, Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Think about that. God is telling us, he said, look, if you get with me and my program, I will give you the ability to pray perfect. None of you will be in it. Because when you're praying by the Holy Ghost, you can't boast. When you're praying by the Holy Ghost, you can't curse. When you're praying by the Holy Ghost, you're praying the perfect will of God. And he's telling us, he said, you know, we want you, God. We need you, God. I already know what it's like being in charge. I screwed everything up. I messed it up. I made shipwreck. God, I was miserable. But I also know what it is to yield to you and follow you, because when I do that, I have peace, I have joy, I have righteousness. So when we do not know how to pray, the Holy Ghost knows how to pray. And we got to pray in tongues. Somebody say pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Jude said, beloved, pray in the Spirit to build up your most holy faith. You want to break out of carnality? Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because the last thing on a carnal person's mind is the Holy Ghost. That's why we need to make ourselves pray in the Spirit and put ourselves before God and begin to pray in tongues. Say, I don't feel nothing. Keep praying in tongues. I don't feel nothing. Keep praying in tongues. Pray louder. Pray until the dialect changes. Pray until you start feeling the trickle come down from heaven. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost until you feel that fire begin to come alive and ignite in your heart. Because what's happening is the consuming fire of God is burning away the flesh. You're getting circumcised. You're being purified and sanctified and set apart by praying in the Holy Ghost. And through that, what's going to happen is you're going to move out of carnality into spirit. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right there and pick up on this next week. So I have to lean my whole being upon God. In Him, we both move, live, and have our being. We have nothing apart from Christ. We have nothing apart from His presence. Dear God, you think about the myriads of people that have been in prisons and jail that said, well, if I'd have known I could have had that, I would have never gotten in trouble. Is that right, Brother Bobby? Amen. Well, if I'd have known this, I would have never gotten the mess I was in. Because the Holy Ghost would have kept me out of it. Amen. So He is telling us that this spiritual power is so mighty and strong that it affects every part of our being and changes us. The deficit of power today is not in God. The deficit is in us. What level of desire, what level of want, what level of craving do you have for God? Amen. You have to consciously and purposefully go for that. You have to say, click, take a button, push it, and turn it off, and say, I'm going to make my flesh set in the presence of God today. Amen. If you look at yourself and say, I'm sick of what I look like. I'm sick of what I'm doing. I'm sick of being this carnal, and I can change it. How can I change it? By going to Him. Just go to Him. Just go to Jesus. Somebody say, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Hallelujah. And so when you purposefully make a decision that you're going to pray through, as they used to say, pray through, hang out in His presence. See, once you get there, you'll keep wanting to go back and go back and go back and go back. And you're going to want to walk in it. You're going to want to live in it because that's what it's designed to do. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Man, that's good stuff. My God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Lay your hands on your belly. Yeah, lay your hands on your belly. Some of us can find it easier than others. Say, Lord Jesus, You live in my spirit. You said, out of my spirit would flow rivers of living water. And Lord, right now, I feel like it's not even a creek. It's not even a branch. But I say tonight, oh, river of God, rise up in me. Rise in the name of Jesus. Rise up, oh, river, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, You said, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. And Father, I thank You right now for the living water of the Spirit of God inside of me, in Jesus' name. I ask You tonight, I don't deserve it. There's no way that I could earn it. But because You love me and because You're a God of mercy and kindness. Grant me a desire to pray through. Grant me the desire to die to me. Grant me the desire to want to know you more. Lord, I choose to draw nigh to you. And you said you would draw nigh to me. I receive that tonight. Holy Spirit, work in me. Have your way. I'm God's child, and I want to be the best that I can be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. If you're here tonight and you want prayer, if you need a touch from God and you want prayer,